Well, good evening. I've written on the board the phrase, check your oil. If that reminds you to actually check your oil, then I guess that's a good thing too. But obviously we're not going to talk totally about actually oiling our vehicles and stuff. But I did have a burden, and the Lord has brought the thought to me through servicing equipment a little bit. So maybe if you'd like, let me lay the groundwork a little bit before we kind of get into the burden. I have several pieces of equipment, and I've bought through my life, I bought a few things new to where I actually had a warranty on the equipment. And some companies, well, sometimes when we go to purchase something new, maybe, one of the things we may look at to compare, if we're comparing two different brands, we might look at the warranty to kind of help make our decision. You know, if this product cost a certain amount and this one cost a similar amount, but the warranties are, one has a much better warranty, well, that may sway our decision one way or the other on whether or not we go with a certain piece of equipment. It may change. It kind of helps give a perception that if a company really stands behind their product, they may have a longer warranty and they truly believe that their product is going to last and they're not going to have to pay a warranty repair, because no company enjoys warranty work. And so if they're willing to say, hey, I have a 10-year warranty on this piece of equipment, then they're obviously pretty confident that it's going to last that long before there's any major issues. However, with a warranty on a piece of equipment, sometimes I guess you sign whenever you purchase the equipment, but it's a contractual agreement. The warranty is only good if you follow their guidelines. If you buy a piece of equipment and choose to never do anything with it and just work it and work it, work it, and then something tears up on it, one of the first questions that you're going to get asked when you bring it in, say, hey, this is broke, it's within the 5-year, 10-year period, I want to get it fixed. Well, what's their first question going to be? Well, let me see your maintenance records. What have you been doing to this piece of equipment? I mean, what have you done to maintain this piece of equipment? Have you followed the manual? Have you checked the oil regularly? Have you changed the oil on the approved? You know, if you go any piece of equipment, we'll have a schedule in the manual that says, hey, at this interval, you need to do this maintenance. At this interval, you check the oil. At the first 50 hours of equipment life, you do a full service. And then after that, maybe it's, talking about tractors and heavy equipment, after that, it may be every 100 hours, every 200 hours that you do some of these pieces of these service intervals. There's also companies that like to tout I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone, but there's some companies that have a reputation for having a good warranty on paper, on the surface, and then there's so much fine print in the warranty that the warranty is essentially worthless. There are so many requirements to maintain the warranty, it's almost impossible to maintain the warranty on the piece of equipment. A lot of times, some companies actually will require when you go to do a service, they might require you to purchase their oil. They may require you to purchase their filters, this certain brand. If you're going to maintain the interval, the warranty, then you're going to have to buy from an approved vendor, or you're going to have to go to an approved shop or whatever. There's some will have a requirement for that, and rightfully so. They want to make sure that you're not going to cheat the system. The warranty is there. Number one, they want to be able to use it as a marketing thing. They want to be able to show that they have confidence in their equipment. It's also there to help protect the consumer, that, you know, if if I buy something, I can be confident that, you know, for the first 5-10 years, I'm not going to have a surprise expense. I'm not going to have to, if I maintain this thing correctly, if I change the hydraulic fluid, if I change the filters, if I change the oil regularly, I'm not going to have to pay for a clutch replacement, or I'm not going to have to pay for, you name it, a major failure that should not happen if the maintenance is being done properly. One of the other questions that you might get asked is, well, they might come back to you and say, okay, well, you changed the oil. How do we know that you did it at this time? Because I just bought a piece of equipment, I'll just tell you that. And I asked some questions when I bought it. I said, okay, what are the requirements for me to maintain the warranty? Can I do the work myself? Can I change all the fluids myself? Can I change the filters? Do I have to buy the fluids from you? Do I have to do these things? So I was able to lay that out pretty plain before I purchased the equipment. And the other thing that they're going to want to know is, okay, if you did use something other than their parts, they'll probably going to ask you, okay, what parts did you use? They may even ask for receipts. They may ask to see the proof, because they want to make sure that you're not putting in subpar parts or fluids, something that's maybe a knockoff that isn't held, that maybe they don't hold themselves to the same standards as what they require. And it's not, in general, for scrupulous companies, it's not because they're trying to always get out of standing behind their word. That's not the intent of it for most of the time. There are times that is the case. But one of the thoughts the Lord brought to me when I was thinking on these things, who is responsible for maintaining my piece of equipment and maintaining my warranty? It's me. I'm the one who has to keep the notebook or the file on my computer or whatever I do. I have to be the one that maintains that and keeps record of it. It wouldn't make any sense for me. Y'all would probably look at me really strange if every Sunday when y'all got here, I went around and started popping all y'all's hoods and checking all the oil in your cars and checking your filters. And you would probably wonder, hey, whoa, what what are you doing? Because that's not my responsibility. If you want to run your car to the ground and not ever change the oil, that's kind of your business. It's not really mine. Now, obviously, if I know you're doing something you don't know about it, then maybe I could point you in the right direction. But it's not my responsibility to worry about everybody else's pieces of equipment. I have to worry about my tractor. I have to worry about my chainsaw. I have to worry about my weed eater to make sure I'm maintaining the equipment so that I'm holding up to my end of the bargain for the warranty. Because if I'm not doing my part, when I go take it in for service and say I want this done on warranty work, they're going to say absolutely not, because you went 500 hours on a 50-hour service interval. I can't honor that warranty. So I hope y'all can see where I'm going with this. The Lord has also given us a warranty. I looked up the definition of a warranty, and I didn't write it down, but it's essentially a promise. A company is, in the sense I've been talking about with a warranty for the piece of equipment, a warranty is, hey, this piece of equipment is going to be good for 10 years. The powertrain warranty. The powertrain on this piece of equipment is, we guarantee it for 10 years. And if something happens before that 10-year period is up, we promise, if it's no fault of you, if it is no fault of your own, we will fix it at no cost to you. It's on us. We failed you. The piece of equipment is going to be fixed on us. That's essentially what a warranty is. It's a promise. Well, we also have a promise from the Lord that that we can have a relationship with the Lord. We will have eternal life, that we can have joy and peace here on earth. But I don't remember where I heard it recently. I think it was in a Bible study or from the pulpit somewhere recently, that the relationship with the Lord is also a contractual relationship. Those promises that the Lord gave are contractual. They're conditional in a sense that you go read in Deuteronomy 11, the conditions there. He promised the Israelites, and we're not going to go there, but he promised them all these different things. He said there's going to be rain for your crops. You're going to have, your cattle are going to have calves. All these things are going to happen. I'm going to water the land that I've cared for. You're going to have all those things. You're going to get vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to have all that stuff, and it's going to be plentiful if, and there, that was, that's the part, is if you maintain your end of the bargain. I'm paraphrasing. If, as long as you maintain, as long as you love me, as long as you serve me completely, wholeheartedly, as long as you maintain your end of the warranty. That the warranty is better than any warranty that we can ever, that we could ever imagine. He's never going to back out of a warranty. As long as we are keeping his terms and conditions. Now, the Lord is not petty. He's not going to nitpick and try to find. We're going to know. We know what our conditions are for the promises that the Lord has given us. And he's not going to hold us responsible for things that we don't know yet. But we know what is required of us. And if we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with the Lord, we know exactly what he's requiring of us. We know the service intervals that we require. We know, if we're honest with ourselves, when we go, you go read Psalms about search me, O Lord, and know my heart. We need to be regularly going, popping the hood and pulling out the dipstick and saying, Lord, where am I? What is it looking like? Take a look at it. Is it full? Is it not? Take an inventory. A year or two ago, we had a message about taking inventory of where are we? What do I have on hand? A service interval is coming up on my piece of equipment. Well, I need to make sure I have the stuff on hand to take care of that. Well, I need to make sure that I'm living my life in a way that when things come up that challenge me, that put my warranty to the test, my attitudes, whether or not I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain, that I'm able to walk up, be confident that I can stand to this because I know that I have the Lord by my side, that I've been maintaining my end of this agreement. And I'm not trying to bring it out that the Lord is his love's conditional and is all these. It's not conditional. He loves us no matter what, but he did give us conditions for his promises. He gave us a side. We have a responsibility for ourselves. And like just like with I was talking about with the maintaining the proper oil levels and maintenance intervals on our cars or whatever it might be, it's not my responsibility to maintain your car. It's not my responsibility to be calling you up and making sure that you've done that. It's my responsibility to maintain mine. It's my responsibility to make sure that I am going to my car and pulling the dipstick out and checking the oil. It's also my responsibility and mine alone to maintain my relationship with the Lord, to maintain the fluids, the filters, and all the moving parts of my relationship with the Lord, of where do I stand with him? Am I regularly taking an inventory with the Lord, say, Lord, you know, I think it does us good to pray that prayer every day. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. And then Psalm 119, that psalm is an excellent prayer to continually pray. The all throughout Psalm 119 of, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I don't understand these things, but I want to understand better. I want to know better how I can deepen my relationship with you. I want to, Lord, keep my end of the bargain. I want to keep my end of this, Lord, so that whenever I come to the end of the way, that if I come up and say, Lord, I need more patience. I need guidance. I need wisdom. That the Lord will say, absolutely. But it doesn't always come when we ask for patience or ask for wisdom. Sometimes it comes in ways that maybe it, we'd rather it didn't. But thank the Lord that He helps whenever when those moments come. We've had some things in family that we recognize they're difficult moments in life. They're difficult. I've had things all throughout my life, difficult moments. But when I look back and see, it was moments of pretty intense maintenance and work being done on my life and the people involved with the situation. Maintenance may not always be fun. The repairs and things that has to happen in our lives may not always be fun and may not be what we would think is acceptable. But if we run from them and say, Lord, I don't want any part of this, then we're going to miss out on a rich blessing. Because there's been things in our lives that, in my life, and I know each one of you can probably think back to a time when, or maybe you're currently in it, where life just seems to not, that the barrage just seems to never end. And the bad things just keep coming, the hard things in the heart. But in the middle of that, recently we heard someone with a testimony that said for some reason they had a peace that they can't explain in the middle of an awful, awful situation. Well, while they can't really explain it, and they knew this too, they expressed this, while they can't explain it, we can explain it. That peace comes from the Lord. That peace comes from maybe what they're going through isn't fun at all. Maybe it's awful, but there's work being done. And maybe it's not always exactly done. It may not be completely isolated to you. The work that it may be being done through you. But God uses those kind of situations to work on other people too. The people that surround us. The way we handle ourselves in tough situations whenever the Lord sees fit to allow us to go through a hard place in our lives. People watch and they see how we handle ourselves. And if we haven't been keeping proper maintenance on our lives and our relationship with the Lord, they're going to see that too. And people watch us at work. They recognize when maybe we are a little different. And they like to watch to see how we handle tough situations. They like to see how is he going to react when this news comes out from the boss? Or how is he going to react whenever maybe there's the projects just keep getting piled on, and there's no time to get it all finished, and the expectations are unrealistic. How's he going to react then? Or what about this new policy that's coming out? Be careful that the maintenance has to be being done, and the fluids checked, and the oil pressure checked on a daily basis. So when these other moments show up, that you're ready. A while back, we were planning on towing something pretty heavy with our vehicle, and it's getting a little old. So one of the things that I did before I did that, I don't know if it helped or not. In my mind, it seemed like it was going to help. So I went and got the oil change, and I put full synthetic. I did everything. You know, I put the best stuff that I could in the vehicle because I knew it was fixing to be working harder than it probably ever has in its life. And so I did extra for the vehicle. I did a little extra for trying to prepare for the load it's going to have to carry. And it cost a little extra money, and it was one of those things. I don't know if it was the right thing to do or if it was even worth it. But I was thinking about that. Andrew and I had gone last year, I think it was. We both kind of felt that we were getting a lot of things from the Lord, but it was also at the same time we were kind of feeling like the Lord was also preparing us for something really hard. There was a lot of things that we just felt that the Lord was just richly giving us visits and things of that nature, but also at the same time we could tell it was a preparation for something difficult. And I want to stand here and say I'm so thankful that I can't predict those things. But just like I was trying to do for my vehicle and prepare and put a little extra in the vehicle for a tough time ahead for the vehicle. The Lord saw fit that he saw our hearts, and I'm not blowing my own horn or anything here. He saw the desire and the value that had been placed up to that point on maintenance, on a relationship, that when he saw something coming in the future, that he said, you know what, I'm going to give a little extra. I'm going to give a little something for you to get through this period, because you're going to need it. You're going to need a little extra. You're going to need a little more than maybe your normal life to be able to get through this next phase of life. And he has been so faithful to me. And I'm sure each one of y'all can have a similar testimony that, and maybe it wasn't prior to, maybe it's in the middle of it, that he gives a special, special rich blessing to say, child, I hear you and I see you and I haven't left you alone. And I know things are scary. I know maybe the check engine light's coming on here and there and things seem like they're falling apart, but I'm still here and I know you and I know your heart and I love you. And when we get through the other end of it, my testimony has been, I'm always better for it. When I come through the other side and the Lord is there to meet, to go through, maybe, well, in the work terms, and when I was in the fire department, a lot of times after an event or maybe a big project, you have a debriefing. It's called a debrief, where you sit down all in a room and say, okay, what went right? What went wrong? Well, why did that go wrong and why did that go right? The Lord has done that with me multiple times after a big trial or a big moment in my life. Kind of had a debriefing. Like, well, this is what you did pretty good, but this is where, you know, there's some things got revealed in that. That now that we see it, let's work on that. And he's never attacked me for it. He's never come to me and... Well, let me back up a little bit. I mentioned earlier that one of the questions that you might get asked if you go in for warranty work on a vehicle or anything, they may ask, well, what oil have you been using? What filters have you been using? I don't know about you, but I've tried to substitute the Lord before. I've tried to substitute the real thing for something else, for something to take your mind off of things. I've tried to substitute different things before in my spiritual life. You try to substitute. Even sometimes you might look at it and think, oh, well, this is a quality thing, but it's still a substitute for what the Lord is wanting with time with him or trying to draw closer to him, but it's still a substitute. But what I have found is, unlike companies that will just say, well, you're out of luck, warranty's over, you're not getting a warranty on that piece of equipment anymore, I haven't found that with the Lord. That while there are terms, and I do have to hold up my end, if I do violate the terms, there's room for forgiveness. And we can go back and say, Lord, you know what? I didn't put the right filter in. And this is when I did it. I didn't put the right filter in, and this is when I did it, why I did it, and I'm sorry. And I know I messed some things up. I know I did damage. And I will say, just because he might forgive a violation of the warranty doesn't always mean that the damage that we did to ourselves doesn't always go away. He forgives us and he allows us to move on. But we might damage ourselves. That's a fact of life. We can make decisions that in our lives that may damage us forever. But thank the Lord we have a God that is willing to forgive and overlook that and say, you know what, child, I forgive you. Let's not do that anymore. Let's not keep putting that filter in. Let's not use that part anymore. But I forgive you. And let's move on. We're going to move on past that. And now from here on out, let's do it right. And thank the Lord, because that's where there's a difference in the Lord's warranty and the warranty of the things of this world is warranties in the world typically don't involve mercy. They typically don't involve too much mercy or allowing there to be too much flexibility on the requirements. But the Lord, in His love, has given us multiple opportunities to correct things, to come back and say, Lord, I didn't check the oil, and I ran it dry, and it almost locked up. Lord, can you help me? And you know what? My experience has been that the Lord will step in and help free up whatever we messed up, whatever we damaged, and He'll come in and say, let's work on this together. Let's perform the maintenance now together. Let's sort through all the things that's been damaged, and let's see what we can do to sort it all out and figure it out. The Lord has been so faithful to me, and I'm here to testify to you that He has been so faithful to me. And over, I find myself where maybe I've stepped outside of the line a little bit, and I have to come back and say, Lord, I need help. I go check the oil in my spiritual tank, and I might be a little low. I might be a quarter too low. And I recognize that. But we need to be regularly saying, Lord, where am I? What do I need to do? Now, y'all may have already kind of made the connection a little bit. The parable in Matthew 25 with the 10 virgins. I want to reference that. We're not going to read it for sake of time, but I think everybody knows the parable pretty well, that five wise and five foolish. The five wise took oil for their lamps, and the five foolish didn't. And whenever it came time that they needed their lamps, the foolish didn't have any oil in their lamps, and they asked the wise, "Hey, we ran out of oil. Can you give us some?" And the wise told them, "Look, I'm sorry. I've got enough." And I don't know if I have enough for me and you, so you go buy for yourself and then see if you can make it back in time. I want to point out that while, as that parable points out, I am not responsible for anyone else but myself to get myself to heaven. And while the Bible brings out that each one of us has to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and we have to maintain that personal relationship on our own, it does not absolve ourselves of any responsibility towards each other. It does not absolve ourselves from saying, well, that's not my problem, I don't have to help them. That's not the spirit of Christ either. There's scriptures all throughout the New Testament about the strong. If ye who are strong, basically help the weak, admonishing each other with psalms and hymns, bearing each other's burdens. There is a place for us to help support each other when we see someone struggling. What do we do on Wednesday nights when we come here? We're sharing our experiences. Maybe we're sharing the moments that, hey, I was going along today and I haven't looked in a long time, and I looked, and my oil pressure light was on. And this is how the Lord helped me. Those are the kind of things that we talk about on Wednesday nights. We bring those things up. The Lord, I was struggling with this, and the Lord blessed me. And what does that do for the people that are hearing it, those of us who hear it, or maybe are going through something similar? That's the exhortation like that is helping give me the confidence. Well, they went through it, and the Lord visited them. That's similar to what I'm going through. And that helps build confidence in each other, and that helps. And maybe it might be a reminder. Because, hey, you know what? I haven't checked that in a while. I haven't talked to the Lord about that in a while. I haven't checked the fluid in that part of my life in a long time. I'm going to have to go deal with the Lord after this. After I go home from this service, I'm going to need to go talk to the Lord about what does He want me to do? Where does He want me in that situation? Where does He want me in my life in that area? That's what we do. with each other. When we come to Wednesday nights and we come to service on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, we're sharing with each other, and we are helping each other walk through this life, whether sometimes you may not know it or not. A text message or a letter or a card that just gives somebody some encouragement. That may be all they needed, the encouragement they needed or the reminder they needed to say, Lord, search me. Where am I in this? I want to make sure that for me, my personal walk with the Lord, that y'all pray for me. I want the actions that I take, I want the thoughts in my mind, I want the time that I spend, I want it to be, well, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to go back to the natural sense. When you're driving your car along, maybe not all of you do this, but my dad was a UPS driver, so he taught me to be constantly aware of everything around you. He told me that, and look, I'm not, if this isn't how you handle yourself in a car, then I'm not casting stones at you. This is how I was taught to drive and how I try to do it today, is constantly be aware of where everything is. I should not ever be surprised if there's a car beside me. I should never be surprised if there's a car over here or over here. I shouldn't be surprised if there's a car. Obviously, things happen. But scanning, look in this mirror, rearview mirror, side mirror, look ahead. Side mirror, rearview mirror, side mirror, look ahead. Just constantly, just checking, check. And then in the middle of that, your gauges. You constantly are checking to see, okay, what's coming behind me? What's on the side of me? What's my car doing? What's in front of me? And if we are consistent with that, when we're consistent checking the gauges in our vehicle, what will happen if something starts to change in how your vehicle is running or operating? You're going to notice it right away. You're going to start noticing that's not where the needle normally points. As soon as it starts moving or things aren't the way it was, you're going to notice that's not where that needle usually is. There's a trend happening here, and I've got to figure out what's going on. That's how I want my life. I want to live my life where I am. I think it's in the scripture where it says to walk circumspectly, to be constantly looking and checking and performing the maintenance on my life, checking the gauges, checking everything. It's like, Lord, I want to walk in a way and live my life in a way that I'm constantly scanning my surroundings, trying the spirits that are coming into my life, coming into my heart. Try those things and see where I can make some adjustments, where I can make some changes. And Lord, help me that when the Lord points something out to me that maybe I've fallen short, maybe I've fallen short in a way that damaged my relationship with the Lord, that I'm willing to do what it takes to correct things, that I'm willing to do what it takes to fix it, and that I don't just move on and keep running with the oil light on, keep running with the low pressure on my oil pressure light on until I just lock everything up and lose it all. Because Lord, help me that I want to make it to heaven, and I want to do my part also to help you make it to heaven. I know what I said earlier, I'm not responsible for you or your relationship with the Lord, except for where the Bible tells me to bear your burdens, to help you bear your burdens. The Bible tells us that's the Spirit of Christ, and for us to help each other. But I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. You can't maintain my relationship with the Lord. Y'all pray for me. I want to draw closer and closer to the Lord, and I want to live my life to be an encouragement to others. Amen.